Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 231 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dave.
Cool. We got Dave and Jonathan, special guests today. We kick woo, Nick woo. To the curb. Had a baby, and he's out. He's gone. He gone. Well, welcome. Dave, what are you going to bring to this podcast? Tell the listeners it's your first time. What are you ready for?
I'm ready to get into some facts. I got a bunch of them written down here. So whichever one I choose.
Oh,
spring on you guys.
All right.
Oh, random. Okay. Jonathan, are you ready?
I am as ready as I might ever be.
You're a vet now at this point.
I'm a vet. My team's yelled at me. I haven't been on in a while, so we are ready to go.
Cool. What do you want to take from your past podcast experiences into this particular week? Are you doing anything different?
The adrenaline's not as high this time.
That's good. You're considerably less sweaty.
Just a little.
At least it is a hot day.
Out.
It is a hot day. All right, cool. So, Dave, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Interesting fact?
Yeah, an interesting fact. Ask it in a question form. You know the drill.
Okay. So I was looking up. Recently, we had the anniversary of Apollo 11 moon landing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So July 20th, right?
Something. Yeah. Like that.
A couple weeks ago.
And I was looking up more interesting facts about Apollo, and I found this about Apollo 10, which was a couple months before, May 26th, 1969.
Cool.
And they have a cool record.
A record.
Of the fastest manned vehicle ever.
Ever? Still ever. To this day?
Still to this day, the fastest a human being has ever traveled.
So beating out all those ones in like the salt flats in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that's, so they've got ground speed, air speed, and then just manned vehicle top speed.
Okay. So that's got to be air travel of some sort.
Well, no, I mean, it was...
It's a land speed record, so I would be in the air.
Was it a land speed?
No, it was
in space. Yeah, no, I was going to say.
Oh, in space. I
understand
what you're saying.
I threw everything off. Don't mind me.
Yeah, I was like, I'm picturing... I'm picturing not that. But yes, now I understand. Now I'm on the same space. Or I'm in the same space. okay, sorry. So they have the record, and I'm assuming you want us to guess it.
All right, go for it. The fastest a human being has ever traveled.
In what scale? Are we talking miles per hour?
I've got it in kilometers and miles per hour.
Oh. Well, that changes things.
Yes, that's it does.
For any Canadian listeners out there, I got it in kilometers, too.
Okay, so we know the speed of light, and I know that it's less than that.
Okay.
But by how much?
And we have our extremes.
Yeah, and well, okay, so what are you traveling in a normal airplane, right? You're going to, like, what, 550 miles per hour, 500 miles an hour?
Something like that.
I have this for reference, if you want. I've got the land speed record and the airspeed record. It's faster than both of those. So I can give you that for reference if you want to have...
Yeah.
All right, so the land speed record is 763 miles per hour.
Okay. What? 763 miles per hour? Yeah. Over what distance?
It was in the salt flats. I don't even know how
far. Oh, whoa.
That.
That's pretty cool. What if you hit
Some
a rock? That'd be
rocket,
terrible.
Rocket-powered car.
Okay.
And the airspeed is about 7,000 miles an hour.
Okay.
What is it? Mach 9.6, which is about 7,000 miles an hour.
Wow. Okay. Huh.
I'm going to say 8,500.
8,500
miles per hour.
I'm going to throw out something absurd like 20,000. No, I don't know.
You can be confident, Jonathan.
Come back to me. Let's go like 15,000.
15,000 miles per hour?
Yeah.
I'm going to go higher than that. I'm going to go higher. I think it's going to be like 45,000 miles per hour.
Well,
and I have no reference.
What are we doing? I know we've done Price is Right rules before. So closest without going over... would be 15,000. The fastest Woo. Ever is 24,791 miles an hour.
Should have been confident with my 20.
Yeah.
You got to be confident, Jonathan.
And that's the speed that they hit the atmosphere when they were coming back.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah.
And Apollo 11 didn't hit that, and future space missions haven't hit that?
I don't know. I mean, no, they haven't gotten close to that. Now they used to use the atmosphere to slow them down, and you have to hit it really fast so you don't skip off into space.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
So instead of wasting fuel, they just barreled into it and... hope the atmosphere would slow them down. But yeah, 24,791 miles an hour.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Fun bonus fact that's not related at all. I want to name my first dog Apollo after Apollo in Battlestar Galactica. So just a fun bonus fact about Apollo.
Not Apollo Creed.
No. All right, cool. Well, Jonathan, you want to go next?
Yeah, so I'll stay in the air travel genre.
Oh, the air travel genre. All right, so, I see you.
My fact has to do more with planes and which state they fly over the most without landing in that state.
Oh.
So,
okay.
That so, poor state. Oh.
So people record this. So, for example, if a plane is flying over New York but lands at JFK, it doesn't count as flying over that state.
Oh, interesting.
Got it. Okay.
So there's one state that has flown over more than the rest.
Okay. All right. So let's think through this. I think it's got to be East Coast, because that's where most of the concentrated flights are, right?
Okay.
You're in the right area.
Okay, cool. We're geographically located.
Well, that kills my guess.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that takes me way out of mine.
I was just going to go dead center of the country.
Yeah, I was going to say Kansas or something.
That's what I was going Kansas. No,
definitely East Coast.
Yeah, because there's more flights there, and they're going, it's a narrower space. I feel like if you're flying over the middle part of the country, there's less planes, one, and two, there's too much of a geographic area for them to fly over. The states are big, right?
You know what? I think I have it. I think I do.
Go ahead and say it.
New Jersey?
New Jersey.
I just think everyone going to New York would just...
So, well, that's what he was saying is the big airport. Which one is it? JFK?
JFK.
JFK's in Jersey.
Is it in Jersey? Oh, okay.
So Jersey also gets killed on the Newark traffic.
Oh, that too.
I'm going to say Pennsylvania.
We're getting closer.
Virginia.
And it is Virginia.
Woo!
Interesting.
Okay, cool.
So most flights fly over Virginia, even though Dulles and Reagan are both in Virginia.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like there's a lot of planes landing in Virginia.
But the interesting thing I learned is a lot of the planes that fly over are actually coming from Toronto down to the Caribbean. And that's where a lot of the numbers come from. Why that's the case, I'm not sure.
Cool. Where's your source? Where's this fact
it
from?
It was on... That's a good question.
who calculated
that's
this
what
out?
We do.
A Business Insider article from 2014.
Cool.
All right.
I'm intrigued. I kind of audibled, and I had a couple facts that I wasn't quite sure which one I was going to do, but this one is related to air travel, so I'm going to stick in that same genre.
All right.
This... I will say, and I talk about the research, which is the idea of this podcast is a little bit get behind the scenes of the trivia production and where we find our things. I spent a good probably half an hour researching the Mile High Club. Okay. So my internet search history was...
It was an interesting conversation at the office that day.
Yeah, and there's an official web... I don't know how official it is, but it's, you know, milehighclub.com or whatever, and they have, like, official things of, like, you have to do it at 5,280 feet, and it has to be above this, and it's da-da-da-da, and they have, like, lists of stories, which are pretty hysterical, but I wanted to know a percentage of how many people are in the Mile High Club. Not surprisingly, more men said that they were than women.
Shocker.
Yeah, admitted to it in a poll. But I saw everything from, like, 4% to 15%, so I didn't have a good source of it. But... The Washington Post recently came out with an article talking about the number of people that have had sexual intercourse in an airport, which is different than a plane, obviously. So what rough percentage of people have had sex in an airport?
Now, I think I read this article.
Oh.
I don't remember the number.
Well, then let these guys guess then if
you
know.
I'll let you guys go first. I have a rough idea, but it's probably wrong.
I'm looking for percentage, you said?
Yeah, percentage. This is... out of, you know, X number of people,
sure.
But I'm going to make it a percentage for the sake
you were
of the question.
4 to 10%, that sounds really high, just for the Mile High Club.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd shoot low, something like 2%.
2%? That's 2 out of 100, yeah.
It's going to be something disgusting.
1 in 50?
Well, it's going to be like, I don't know, I'll say like 10%.
All right.
I think that's going to be low, but it really should be lower.
Yeah, 1 in 10. 1 All in right. 10. So you hit it right on the head. That's reports of having sex in some kind of an airport compared with about 8% who says that they're members of the Mile High Club. So this is, they say it, I don't know if they're being sarcastic, but they say, according to an important new survey conducted by a flight shopping website. And of those, where in the airport? Like, what was the highest percentage of location?
It's got to be the bathroom, right?
It is a bathroom. 42% said it took place in a public restroom. 28% said they got busy in storage cupboards, which I don't know what a storage cupboard is in an airport world, I guess. And 14% said, quote, under a coat.
Like, see, 42% for the bathroom, still under 50% sounds low to me.
Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
I think that's 42% among the people that have had it.
Yeah. So they said 3/4 of those that they had free time at the airport, and the website followed up to learn how that downtime was used.
Mr. Connection got to kill some time.
Yeah.
Let's just go and grab a beer.
Yeah. And then they said 5% of those airport hookups hooked up with a stranger, and then 87% hooked up with the person that they were traveling with. I don't know what the other percentage was, but...
See, how is that not a dating app right now? I'm in Chicago for 3 hours. I'm at O'Hare Airport.
Oh, it is an app, actually.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, the Mile High Club had links to it.
Oh, good. There's no original ideas anymore.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, and they had also links of, like, how to become a member and all of these things. And it was, like... We're not legally responsible if you get caught in an airplane.
So is there an approval process? You have to
you
submit
just,
evidence?
This was my question.
Well, I did click on a link that said stories, and it had a screen that said, you know, this is the explicit content. I was like, oh, it can't be that bad. Click, and it was some people going at it skydiving, and I was uncomfortable. And I have been skydiving, and I think that that sounds very dangerous.
Well, you're kind of already strapped to somebody, so...
No, these were two separate people with their own individual parachutes.
I figured.
Okay, sorry. We won't go into it anymore. All right, Michael, your fact.
Yes, my fact.
This is all your fault, Jonathan.
Save the show.
Jonathan, this is all your fault for bringing up the airplanes.
All right. Well, we're going to make a hard left turn here. Mine has nothing to do with air travel at all.
Okay. Before you get into it, though, you said that you're going to make a hard left turn. So what could be the hardest left turn that he could go? I'm saying grandma's.
Well, from planes to submarines, then.
Submarines. Oh, yeah. That's my next week's fact.
Something about animals.
Oh, animals.
I think Lindsay would be closest because it's about Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah. Crushing it.
So, provided everything goes your way, everything, what is the maximum amount of money you can earn in one game of Jeopardy?
Ooh.
This is a great article. They mapped it out, and they basically have four things. You're the first player to ring in on every clue. You respond to every clue correctly. You bid as much as possible whenever you can. And you are insanely lucky.
So
why do you have to be lucky? So the double Jeopardy is, it hits at the time that you have the most
double,
money?
Right.
That's what I mean,
so
daily double, sorry.
The daily double. So daily double one has to be on the $200 clue, and you clear the board before that.
Right.
So you can accrue the most money. And then the same thing with double Jeopardy.
Got it.
So what is the max amount of money?
I don't watch enough Jeopardy to really take a good stab at this. So I'm just going to shot in the dark, $150,000.
Okay.
I couldn't even tell you how many things go across on a Jeopardy board.
Six categories and five clues each. So 30 clues total. So it's, and the calculators come out.
Pause for awkward silence.
In the first round, it's 200 through 1,000, 200, 400, 600, 800, 1,000. Double Jeopardy, all of those are doubled. So it's 400, 800, 1,200, 16, and 2,000.
Okay, so can I ask a question for reference? Because,
sure.
I mean, I'm a casual Jeopardy. And I know a lot of people that play our trivia are Jeopardy contestants and former Jeopardy contestants. And that's always one of our biggest challenge of stumping you guys. Because
right.
I am not anywhere remotely qualified for Jeopardy. Or could I even attempt to figure out how to get to the website to do that?
Right.
What was the highest single day earning?
That is actually on here, and I'm really glad I checked before it is. The current daily record is 77,000. It was set in 2010 by Roger Craig.
Wow, 77,000 won. So obviously it's more than that.
Yes.
Way more than that. I'm going to go $275,000.
Okay.
Yeah, my rough guessing, I was at like 300.
All right. Well, in that case, Jonathan's closest at 300,000.
Dang it,
if
Jonathan.
If 100% of everything goes your way through Final Jeopardy, you can get up to $566,400.
$500,000? Half a mil?
Half a mil. Basically,
what?
you'd be walking into Final Jeopardy with over $250,000. You obviously bet the house.
No.
And realistically,
it's never going to happen because... Like I said, the daily doubles are never in the 200 spots and all the stuff like that.
You have those pesky other contestants that are there?
Pesky other contestants, right.
So it's a mix between playing perfect, getting the perfect board.
Exactly. Everything has to go your way. So it'll never happen. But that was the surprising thing to me was the distance between the highest daily score of 77,000 and then the max possible score of 566.
Yeah, do they have an average? Jonathan's excited. He like whacks the microphone. Do they have an average?
I don't see an average hero. I don't see what the average winner is. But keep in mind, like Ken Jennings, when he went on that amazing run in Jeopardy, I don't remember how long it was.
It was a long time.
That the highest daily is only a fifth of what he made, though.
Yeah,
and
wow.
During that run, he made over $2.5 million. So,
not bad.
Yeah.
Dave, if you were going to be on a game show, which one would you be on?
Family Feud.
Family Feud, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'd like to meet Steve Harvey.
Yeah, Steve Harvey's great.
Yeah, I think that would be. Oh no, you know what? I wouldn't want to be on that because I, you know, I'll say this as some of my family members listen to this. I don't think that they would be good at Family Feud.
I'd carry my team for sure, but yeah.
It's like too much.
The trick is the steel where everybody huddles.
Yeah, I'd like Press Your Luck. I think that would be mine. Or $100,000 pyramid. I don't know. Lots of good ones.
I'm gonna play some Prices Right. Some Plinko.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't go grocery shopping enough to have any sort of. I'd be like, this dish soap is $15. Is this Amazon Prime?
No idea whatsoever, but give it a shot.
Yeah. We need to know how much this washing machine cost. Is that standard 5-day shipping? Or
yeah. Okay, so for the next topic, I want to go from sex on a plane to Jeopardy to alcohol consumption. So okay. We have a survey here of, you know, 4 people. So on average, what percentage of American adults don't drink at all? Do not consume an alcoholic beverage.
On average?
Yeah, on average.
So of age 21 and older that do not drink.
Yeah.
I'd throw out 20%.
20%? Okay, 1 in 5.
That probably is low, but
I'm thinking like 35.
35?
Yeah, I was somewhere in that mid-30 range.
Yeah.
32, 33.
You guys are pretty close. 30%, so nearly a third of Americans don't drink alcohol at all. And another 30% consume on average less than 1 drink per week. So the top 10% of American adults, 24 million of them, consume an average number of how many drinks per week?
So this is the top 10% of all alcohol consumption.
Yes, the top 10%. I found this absolutely fascinating.
Is this going to make me feel really bad about myself?
I would think maybe the opposite.
Yeah, I'm a little worried I'm going to hit this number. No, I'm actually, from the little bit that I know, I know a couple of defense attorneys, and you talk to people that are like, when you're talking about, I'm assuming this 10%, you're talking alcoholism and medical like issues at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the top 10%, so 1 in 10
week.
Americans. I don't know if they're the same 1 in 10 Americans who have had sex in an airport. I don't know. That's unconfirmed if they're correlated.
I'm sorry, if that's happening, I'm going to need at least a cocktail.
In that bathroom.
Especially in the bathroom.
So, what's the question? How many?
Yeah, how many drinks? So, the top 10%, how many average drinks per week do they consume?
Per week.
Top 10%?
Yeah, okay. Walk me through your thought process here. Like,
there
what
is
are you,
none.
You're in the, you guys are hosting, so you probably have a couple drinks that you're while you're hosting, or I know it helps me score.
Let's say 20
it speeds
drinks
up the
a
speed,
day.
Not the accuracy.
20 drinks a day is rough. Let's say 15 drinks a day.
That's really high.
15 drinks a day?
Top 10%, though.
See, if it was a smaller percentage, if it was a smaller percentage, I'd be on your, like, if it was top 2% or something like that.
Dave, what are you thinking? Think out loud for us.
I'm thinking probably, let's throw out like a 6-pack a day.
Okay.
You said a 6-pack a day?
Yeah,
okay.
6-pack a day. So that would be.
I'm going to split the difference. I'm going to say 70 drinks a day. So you're
my
six.
My math is not good enough.
Wait, 70 drinks a day?
70.
Or I'm sorry, 70 drinks a week.
Okay.
So I'm thinking 10 a day. Six packs, so you're thinking 42.
40-ish, yeah, 40.
All right. 73.85
wow.
drinks.
What up?
You.
Per week. So about 74. So it's a little more than 10 drinks per day, which is a lot.
I feel a lot better about myself. I'm not even close.
Yeah, so, this is over the age of 18, so I don't know how they figured this out, but it's a Washington Post article, and so that works out to a little more than 4.5 750 milliliter bottles of Jack Daniels, 18 bottles of wine, or 3 24-case cases of beer in 1 week.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because 30% don't at all, which, you know, hey, do you, whatever you want to do. But
well, it's 18 and over, so you got the college crowd in there, too.
I guess. Yeah. Maybe
even
that's
in college, I don't think I was hitting it that hard.
10 a day. No way.
You're not getting that in college.
I don't think I hit 10 in a weekend in college.
No.
Or like on a Friday night.
I'm a tourist lightweight. So if I had 10 a day, I would be dead. Pretty consistently. Okay, cool. I thought that was just a bonus article and a bunch of fun. Dave, you had another topic, though, that you wanted to touch on. Yes?
Another fact?
Yeah.
I can throw out?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
You said you had a bonus fact, and I want to, you know, this is your first time here. I want to
sure.
give you all the love.
We're giving you the spotlight.
Yeah.
All right, sure. I got another here. Yeah, I thought this one was interesting. And, you know, Nick's out. He just had a baby.
Yeah.
I've got one on the way.
Oh, congrats. Yeah. Fun.
So I looked up what year saw the most births in the United States.
Oh, the year.
What year?
In the entire United States history.
In the history of the U.S., what year saw the most births?
Oh, wow. Okay, so we know that the month of August.
Right. We know that from last week.
And this is according to the National Center for Health Statistics.
Oh, that's a good...
super official.
Yeah, reputable.
What year did everything crash in the U.S. this year? This decade? Like, was it 08? Because I'm thinking the year right before that.
No, I'm going baby boomers, and I'm going 1946.
46?
See, I think it's got to be way more recent just because population has gone up.
Oh, that's overall. Fair. It's not a percentage, right? It's just straight numbers?
Straight numbers, yeah.
Ooh. You have a point, Michael.
I think I'm going to say 06.
06?
You're thinking like around the recession.
I'm thinking right before the recession.
People lose their job and go home and...
No, right before the recession. Everything's good. We have, you know, the housing bubble hadn't popped yet, so everybody has a house. Now we can build a family.
Okay.
And now we have a house and we have a place. We don't need to go to the airport.
I'll go drop above. You'll go 08.
Okay.
I like your logic.
08. You guys dancing right around. It's 07.
See?
Oh,
yeah.
Right there.
Price is right.
Wow, your logic was so great.
4,317,000 babies.
Wow.
Born in 2007.
Wow.
Huh. It's been going down since that number has dropped since.
These millennials.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
With their avocado toast.
I know. If people wouldn't buy so much avocado toast, they would maybe have babies and, you know, But it's interesting because there's populations, especially in a lot of the Scandinavian countries, nobody's really procreating as much anymore. And they're worried because populations are going down. We see it in Japan as well. And Denmark recently, we've talked about this before, has advocated basically like, hey, we'll pay for a vacation if you go, you know, and fornicate.
How does that work? Like, do you come back with receipts, or is it like 9 months later the kids do, and it's like, okay, see, this clearly happened while we were in the Caribbean.
I don't know. I don't know many more details than that. I also read an article on the total opposite end of this. There's a jail in Tennessee, and this is probably going to go to the Supreme Court, that they're offering people time off of their jail sentence if they get a vasectomy.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
I don't.
I feel like I missed something here.
Yeah, no, I saw that. It's some judge ruled that today or suggested it.
Yeah, and he says.
And then implants for women if memory serves.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, implants in the arms, which lasts like 3 to 4 years or depending on which one you get, I guess. And then vasectomy, though, that's forever.
Did you see how much it takes off the jail sentence, though?
I've seen 30 days.
That's 30 days, yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
So you get these 18-year-old kids. I think it's a big, huge issue.
I don't know how I feel about it. I'm trying to just, like. That's a lot to process.
I feel like you'd get more than 30 days off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If I get to go through surgery, yeah, no, you're going to need, we're talking years.
Yeah, I don't know. It was absolutely one of those weird, I'm imagining that story is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm sure, I think the ACLU is already involved. I'm sure that there will be updates on that to come.
Right, absolutely.
Oh, Jonathan, I looked at you. You looked like you had something to
I'm
say.
I'm just so perplexed by this whole topic. I got nothing.
What about the topic is perplexing to you?
I just don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, so a vasectomy. Well, I'm kidding.
Understand
when
how
a man
it
and
works.
A woman love each other very much.
They go to an airport. which is your secret phrase?
Yes, it absolutely.
When
should
a
be.
Man and a woman love each other very much, they go to an airport. Or a man, a woman, you know, whatever. Just when people love each other, they go to an airport. Wink, wink.
There you go.
Wink, wink. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't know. It would be an expensive place to have fun.
For my teams, I want you to draw a little wink-wink at the end when you write it.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to wrap up. Dave and Jonathan are going to be back next week, so stay tuned for that. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dave.
And we don't know either.
Bye.